Hello, friends. Welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me anytime at 509-750-9793. Here in the United States, or toll free at 1-888-879-8339 in the U.S. or Canada, or you can email me as well at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell everyone that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast, in Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th in 2019. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Also, there will be a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early. For details, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me anytime at 509-750-9793. In addition, this summer, from July 2nd to the 8th, and September 6th through the 11th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth for the last 2 years, and this is a wonderful opportunity to visit an incredible place. If you've got the time, as soon as you get to Mount Shasta, I always feel my vibrations going way up because there's lots of good Lemurian energy there, and there's an entire civilization just beneath Mount Shasta as well. However, you have to follow. It's recommended that you follow certain spiritual protocols to gain entry. The cost is only $200 per person, and it includes free dry camping right next to several entrances to Telos and in the Hollow Earth. If you're interested in coming, please email or call me. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and my phone number here is 509-750-9793. Now I'd like to go on to my next guest, Rebecca Campbell. I've got a wonderful person on the wonderful lady on the line with me now for today's interview. Her name's Rebecca Campbell, and she's from Olympia, Washington. She's a social activist, and she's going to tell us all about cell towers and why they're bad for our health, along with some other issues. Rebecca, how are you doing today?
Well, on this sunny day. How about you?
Oh, I'm fine, just fine. I wanted to ask you what kind of work do you do, and how did you get involved in political activities?
Well, that's a very long story.
Okay, in 25 words or less.
Should I mention this particular thing, because I've worked on so many different issues?
Sure.
Should I mention the smart grid issue?
Yeah, I'll go right ahead.
Uh-huh. But it's typical. I mean, this is how it often has happened in my life, and I have been an activist for the past 50 years.
Okay.
And I was in the 60s, and that's the time when a lot of things were happening. And so off and on, I've been at it that long, and I'm what you might call a light warrior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a light worker, but I'm
wonderful.
The subset that actually stands up to protect the people.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, so with the smart meters, I had started to hear about this, I would say about 2010.
Okay.
They were doing beta tests. And I heard it, like, you know, furtively. It'd be like in California in a certain place, and then maybe on the, you know, it's somewhere in Maine, or it was popping up. And
okay.
Then there, within about 2 years in California, they started it really installing them.
Now, you know, if I may ask a dumb question,
sure.
For my listening audience, many people know what smart meters are, but could you explain them briefly what they are?
Certainly. That it's kind of a brief way of saying it, but I'll explain smart too. But it's smart digital Wi-Fi meters is really, you know, how you could better say it, and then people will get it. But it's a little cumbersome to constantly say smart utility meters or digital Wi-Fi meters. But in any case, they're utility meters. They can also be, although I'll extend the definition a bit more, because I put something out over the internet recently, which you might have seen, Ted, because you're on my list.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to install smart meters, parking meters, in Olympia, just like they have in downtown Seattle and all over California.
Now, so, this sounds like a draconian plan. How do they work?
All right, these meters, what we're used to, and they're perfectly fine, and there's this ancient saying, if it ain't, well, I'm not sure how ancient it is, but anyway,
yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sure.
And it's a very profoundly wise thing, although it sounds very, you know, down-to-earth common sense, but common sense seems to be lacking because we've had these meters in our homes. We've had parking meters for many years. Ever since I was a child, you know, many years ago, we've had pretty much the same meters, and they really haven't caused much of a problem. All right, now all of a sudden, since 2010, and maybe a little before that, but, you know, in that time range, mm-hmm. we're getting all this big push, and it's a coordinated push all over the world, and you're not hearing about it because the corporate media has a major blackout on it.
Right.
And that in itself is very suspicious. All right, so you got these meters, and they're not even wired meters that you, like you would have with a computer with your cable or something. These are Wi-Fi or microwave. And for many years there's been knowledge about the dangers of microwaves, and I started hearing more of the they've known it like in the secret black budget projects of the Pentagon, where they did all this research like DARPA and so forth.
Right.
They've known about it, but they've concealed it from the public. We've mm-hmm. got documents from the 60s and 70s, and as early as that, and probably earlier, they enumerated all the dangers of the Wi-Fi and the surveillance capabilities and everything else.
Right.
And then they didn't tell the public. Now, since the 80s, though, since Robert O. Becker and several of the other researchers started putting out books about the high tension wires. They were noticing if people lived next to those, they were having problems. And then it ramped up when they started putting in the cell phone towers, in the early to mid 90s.
I know. Pardon me for interrupting, sure. But I know that in Europe, and it always amazes me here in this country, in the United States, to look at them. But in Europe, they don't allow anybody to live or build or have any homes within 500 meters, 500 yards of any high-power tension lines. Nothing,
yeah.
Because they know it causes mental illness and as well as cancer.
They accept it over there, but over here, because of the—and this dated from the mid-'90s, too— because of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which is one of the most dangerous acts that was ever passed, right. Because of Section 507. And Section 507 is the one that states that in the determination of siting a cell phone tower, they've, of course, extended this to, like, smart meters, 5G Wi-Fi, we can get into that a little bit, but that's even worse that they're trying to impose. But, you know, we'll get to that maybe a little later, or another show. Anyhow, what 507 states that you cannot use the health and environmental effects as a determinant as to whether or not these can be placed.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that violate the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA? Because
yes,
you're supposed
to. It does, but they passed a contrary act. It violates the Geneva Conventions.
Okay.
It violates the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
But all these things, if you understand, and here again, because I always give the big picture. I mean, you can get people in here to talk about this from, like, the medical effects and, you know, the privacy surveillance effects and all this, and I'm giving you the bigger picture.
Right.
But from a legal standpoint, and you know I work with that too, the Constitution of the United States has been dormant since 1861.
Mm.
And so none of the Constitution, I mean, we keep appealing to it, and I've done it for public education purposes, knowing what I'm telling you. But anyway, it's dormant. So and we're under corporate rule. We're under essentially martial law. And so they're using this to without telling us, and I think people are waking up, but the vast majority of people don't know that we're under corporate martial law.
Hmm.
And so when you try to appeal this, they do all these things, and they bought off all the, you know, the state representatives and the Congress and so forth.
Right.
When a municipality, and that includes counties and townships and this sort of thing, when they try to restrict it, which they actually, you know, just from a common sense standpoint, have a right to, Ted,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to pass laws that go over those heads and go to the state level. And the federal level,
mm-hmm.
and there's actually a bill in the Washington State legislature. I don't know. I didn't go anywhere this year, but they're trying. I think the guy's name is Erickson, and they're trying to pass a law that a city cannot make a determination on smart meters. And now, and this is where we're getting into what we were going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
We found out at the last minute on March 14th. that they were going to Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission mm-hmm. was going to have a workshop, quote unquote, on March 15th, the Ides of March, the proverbial Ides of March.
And they give you plenty of time. What, mm-hmm. less than four hours or 12 hours to
exactly.
prepare?
I mean, we had I think we had 8 hours because we found out about it at the last minute. And
of course.
And it's interesting because all the corporations and
they knew about it.
They knew about it.
And they'd probably been preparing for the hearing for several years.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But we weren't told.
Of course
not. I had to figure out how to get this out to at least key people, even though if we couldn't get hundreds of people, because, I mean, people were at work, whatever. I mean, we couldn't get that many.
Right.
But some of the people had more, entrepreneurs or retired people or whatever who were knowledgeable activists to respond to this. And I managed to get the word out, so how to get a hold of the WUTC and so forth. We got 35 credible comments in, and then three of us, two from the Seattle area, God bless them, because this hearing didn't directly impact them, and I'll explain that in a second, and myself, and then another friend who was just there kind of witnessing from Mason County, where they're trying to impose those as well, there. We made it to the hearing. And I was pleasantly surprised because, unlike the Seattle City Council, which we've discussed in an earlier show a couple of years ago about the smart grid and the Agenda mm-hmm. 21, which is all of which this is a part of,
right.
the commissioners, the utility commissioners, were actually more receptive and doing their jobs.
Good.
And they apologized for not having us on the list. They got us on the list, told us how to access it and how to get other people on it and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually heard the commissioners grilling the investor-owned utilities. But mm-hmm. and what they were determining was if they should have opt-ins or opt-out with these dangerous surveillance meters known as smart utility meters.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pushing for opt-in. Because you can see, I mean, you've got the legal training, you see that has a completely different meaning than opt-out.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. opt-out implies that it's already a policy that they're going to go with, that the people have a quote, right, but that's a whole other story, too. But anyway, we'll just put it in quotes, right, to refuse the meters and then pay, in my opinion, an extortion fee, a protection racket fee, so that they're not harmed by the meter each month, so they don't have to have it.
Let me tell you a true story.
Sure.
Bring this down to an example.
Mm-hmm.
My foster mother lived in Oregon for many years in a little town, Eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention her name, and I won't tell for the sake of privacy. I won't say where she was, but a little town, Eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
She got smart meters one day, and within a week she was dead from a heart attack.
Wow.
And I know that it took me some time to put two and two together. First off, the utility wouldn't tell me the truth, and finally
right.
I did find out later it was a smart meter they put in. But they emit all these different electromagnetic waves, and if you've got a weak heart, or even if you don't have a weak heart, that can severely affect your health, including having a heart attack.
Yeah.
So it took me some time to put two and two together, and what other health effects are there from smart meters that you've found?
Well, let me finish with what I was going to say, and then I was just going to get into that.
Okay.
At the hearing, we'll call it a workshop. They have weird the government, as you know, has weird
names
ways
for
labeling
everything.
Things. But anyway, whatever the event that we went to, there we seemed to see some hope because they actually asked us to get up and speak, and they had said there would be no time for that, but they said get up and speak. And obviously, we have to keep within a limit, but we're not going to impose a time limit on you. And that was incredible because anywhere else we've spoken about the smart utility meters, like with the Seattle City Council, that's totally corrupt, we would only get 1 to 2 minutes. And I'll tell you, in 3 to 5 minutes, you can stay a whole lot more than 1 to 2.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. you've got it structured and you're clear in your mind.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So they did listen. My impression was they were listening to us.
Good.
And we did get out some of the 13 different things that I have identified, others have as well, about the smart meters, and it's not just the health effects. There's many others, which we can get into. I can do like a summary, a list. But anyway, so there's hope that if we – oh, and then they stated that there's going to be another – they only covered the opt-in, opt-out question, and there would be another event – in mid-July, most likely.
Could you?
And the investor-owned utilities, not the municipally-owned utilities like the one in Mason County and
right.
the one in Seattle.
Right.
The investor-owned, like PSE.
Right.
That's going to affect a lot of the people on the east side areas of Seattle and to the southwest here in Olympia and I think up north. Because that's PSE up there. They have a big area. I think they've got the biggest area of all the utilities.
Well, I'd like to please keep me in the loop. Let me know when that hearing is, because I'm sure a lot of people listening today would live in the Seattle area here and elsewhere in Washington would like to go to that.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to suggest, because I was going to structure it so that, and then we'll get into the health effects and all that and what you would ask, but being strategic here, I think if we got like several leading health experts on the dealing with microwaves and so forth, and one of them lives right here in Olympia, mm-hmm. and then one of them lives in Portland, the one in Portland said he would actually come, and I'm pretty sure the one here in Olympia would.
Great.
And then there's one from the formerly, because when Bill Gates went in there and gave funding to the Karolinska Institute, the world-renowned research institute, health research institute in Stockholm, Sweden. This great researcher was laid off when Bill Gates came in there, so that tells you something.
Well, we know all about Bill Gates.
I know we could have a whole show on that or several shows, but anyway, he's a friend of mine, and he would testify. So I've already got like three world-renowned people who could testify as to the health effects, and then if we can get people like as a lawyer, and I've been in court as well. As a pro se, and done this sort of thing, if you take a case and then if we only have like 2 to 3 minutes or whatever to speak, each activist can get up or advocate can get up and give a portion of the case, like you have it
yeah,
prepared,
that's a good idea.
Laid out. If we did that, plus we have these great ones that dealt with the health effects, which are really the biggest, even though they're trying to minimize it. That could blow it out of the water, and if we have it taped, and I don't think it's going to be on the W channel because I noticed that it wasn't being taped when we were at the building there in March, we need to get somebody who could videotape it, and then if we have legal documents that we've sent them all this evidence and so forth, and if they decide to like go with the utilities on this, then we have even more. Ability to take legal action, either more conventional actions or the notices of liability, which I can also mention a little later.
Okay, all right.
Now, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I happen to know somebody who might be able to film it for you.
Okay, and I think that there's two or three other people. We'll coordinate on that, and we'll get somebody there because that's going to provide legal, and it's going to provide more ability to get this out there because there's this media blackout on it.
Yeah, you're talking to him.
you would okay, fantastic. Good. All right, I'll talk to you about that. All right. So anyway, the health effects. All right.
Right.
So there's huge amounts of, despite the fact that they keep lying through their teeth and saying there's no evidence on this, it's well known over in Europe. So to me, Europe itself, the EU, is prima facie evidence that they know that somebody knows there's health effects, or the EU wouldn't be doing what you told us about at the beginning of the show, Ted. So that's number one. There is heart effects. If you have a pacemaker, because this is electromagnetic, with scalar waves being used on the electromagnetic waves as carriers, it radically disrupts the electromagnetic systems in the body, particularly the heart, and it can cause heart attacks, arrhythmias. If you've got a pacemaker, it's highly dangerous. It's even more dangerous if you've got a pacemaker, because that is a form of electromagnetic technology that's very vulnerable, to this sort of thing. Dr. Martin Paul, who was one of the researchers I was thinking of asking I already asked him. In fact, he said he would be there, the one from Portland. He used to be at Western State University, and he should have won a major prize for what he discovered, because he discovered the actual mechanism by which the electromagnetic radiation from the smart meters or the 5G or whatever gets into it interferes with the calcium channels going into the mitochondria of the cells.
Oh, wow.
He identified the cell disruption that the electromagnetic waves cause. So I mean, he needs to be there because he has cutting edge information, mm-hmm. and he has been willing to speak out. Whereas Dr. Henry Lai, for example, who was one of the earliest and major researchers, and he happened to be the dean of the engineering school at the University of Washington, Seattle. And he was shut down. He was threatened. They took away his funding, like they did Ola Johansson, the one over in Sweden.
Right.
And there's been researchers who have been threatened and shut down. You cannot even get Dr. Henry Lai, even though he's, quote, retired. You can't get him to come to any conference and share his findings because they've either got him under an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement,
yeah.
or they've threatened his life or his family's life, or something happened.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
You said there are smart parking meters. How do they work exactly, let's say, in the city of Olympia?
Okay, so let me just finish, though, about the health effects. Another huge effect, and then there's others we can get into that disrupt the nervous system, like MS and this sort of thing. But the other major effect is cancer. And even mm-hmm. the World Health Organization has put it as a type 2 level cancer cause, and there's a whole lot more we could talk about that. So it causes epithelial cancers. It causes all types of cancer. So this is extremely serious as well. All right, the parking meters are not quite as dangerous, but then you get into the surveillance capacities of all these Internet of Things, smart grid devices.
Mm-hmm.
The parking meters, they had perfectly good in Olympia. You've known for years they've had really great old time.
That's right.
You know, and meters, and it was wonderful to park there because you didn't have
fun.
The crap that you have to go through in Seattle.
Right.
And incidentally, in Seattle, I did a story on the Public Access Channel, the Seattle Community Media Channel, on this, where about the smart parking meters, and then I put out something that I sent to you and a lot of other people in the Olympia area about this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in California, where they were doing the beta tests on these,
mm-hmm.
and they did it in San Bernardino, parts of San Francisco, various cities there, and they started noticing that the fees went up, that the meters were like the smart meters, and this is another scary thing about them, they're hackable. And that means that, like, if somebody in the city, I mean, not to mention hackers in general, but, you know, just being mischievous, but if somebody in the city wants to get more money, extract more money from people, citizens in general who are parking, all they have to do is, like, you put your money in and then you use your credit card. And that's another thing that's really onerous. A lot of these parking meters, the smart parking meters, though not all of them, you have to use some sort of card.
Right,
or
exactly,
token.
Right.
And that means if you're somebody from out of town, if you're somebody who doesn't have a credit card, you're locked out of being able to park.
That's true.
So that's onerous. All right, so if you're in the city and you want to jack up fees and start extracting more money from the citizens, and again, if you know the financial system and the overarching thing that we don't have time to talk about, all of this is extortion. But anyway, we'll just, on the face of it, we'll just say at this level. All right,
mm-hmm.
so they hack into the meter after you put your money in with your smart card or whatever.
Right.
And then they can claim, and then they send the meter person around, and then they claim, and then they turn it back, and then you get charged for not, quote, putting your money in. And this was happening all over California.
You mean people had already paid for the parking with a credit card, for example, or debit card?
Yes.
And then they double bill them or triple bill them.
Or they more than that, because they gave them fines for parking without paying.
Oh my goodness!
And you can imagine what this was doing to the small businesses if this was persistent.
Oh, nobody would want to go downtown. Forget it.
People wouldn't go to areas were more blighted areas, but they had viable businesses, and that's what was keeping them viable. And they destroyed the small businesses in the areas of these cities, and then these developers would come in and buy up the buildings, predictably, for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And so you're seeing a bigger, even more sinister scam behind this whole thing.
Amazing.
And they're trying to do in Olympia right now what they've done to Seattle. And people around here in this area need to wake up, because Olympia, is a beautiful little city.
Yeah, it is.
And this is a precursor to what they're planning to do, along with this action with the Utilities Commission.
Is there a next hearing on it at all, or are they just going to do it?
But I don't know exactly where it is or when it is. So if somehow we can create a mailing list, like maybe through your website or put my email, I don't care, put it up there. Put my voicemail, the 926 number, and my address up there, and then people can get a hold of me, and then I'll create a mailing list so everybody, and I think you go out to probably Eastern Washington or worldwide, even on the web, but I'm talking about the broadcast. You get to a lot of people.
I have over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries.
All right. So, and it's affecting all these countries, but we really want to get the word out in Washington State.
I've got a large group here in Seattle too. To worry, in Olympia.
All right. So anyway, and the East Side is what's going to get hit. Well, it's getting hit in Seattle, but as far as the sector and utility business, it's going to be the East Side that gets hit.
Let me know where and when.
All right.
And
so,
keep me in the loop.
So I haven't heard yet, but the minute I do,
I
will.
And I'll help you.
People, it's important to get a mailing list on this though, so if people would please get a hold of me. I'll state my contact information just before the show ends so people can get a hold of me.
Why don't you state it now, just in case?
Certainly.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Rebecca, spelled with two C's, M, capital E, small m, middle name, Campbell, like the soup. My email, people do remember that, REBECCAPHB, that's for professional human being, @yahoo.com.
Okay, great.
And phone number, the voicemail where they can leave a long message and then I'll get back to them. 206-926-3962.
Okay. Right. One of the things I want to share with you as you educate the public, I think your work is so important. You know, as I drive, for example, in the Seattle area, I see all kinds of homes and businesses and sometimes even schools right next to or underneath even power lines.
That's right.
And one of the people, perhaps if you get time, I know you're pretty busy, that you might want to approach is the Nisqually Indian tribe, next to Yelm, Washington, which is just south of Olympia, Washington.
Yeah.
There they have their public housing, right under and next to power lines, right there. And those people are getting health effects from it. I know it. All the studies say that they're getting cancer, they're getting mental illness, if they don't realize it, they don't, you know, that, well, it's something they should
idea,
be.
That's a good idea, Ted, and I need to track. Native people are great people, but they usually are not really good at to contact them. They're not into email or phones. They're just, you're supposed to, like, drop by to see them or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if anybody has contact.
I do.
All right, and then the Nisqually tribe, let me know because they're actually a sovereign nation, but it's kind of
those power lines running across their housing areas.
Right.
And
this whole thing in the state, they may try to impose it on the Nisqually tribe too. That's not clear to me according to tribal law, but they're quote in the state of Washington even though they're a sovereign nation. So they need to know about it so everybody needs to know about this because now they're trying to take it statewide.
Right.
All right. So there's other effects besides the health effects, and also I might add in my own case, and this has happened since we last talked, Ted, which I don't think we've talked that much in about 2 years. But
apologies.
We talked and spent some time. But anyway, since I last saw you, I was in downtown Seattle for 11 years, right at the heart near the Pike Place Market.
Mm-hmm.
And
what a place!
And I had begged the management of the building where I was. When I first heard about this over 10 years ago, they wanted to put cell mast towers on the roof of the building.
Hmm.
And I begged them. I tried to show them the health effects and so forth, but they were getting $20,000 a year per mast. So they were making money, probably, funding for for what they were doing.
Right.
And so they went and put them up there anywhere. Way I even had the businesses sign a petition along with about half the other tenants and so forth, and they still put them up there. And I did my best to try to warn people, and nobody was listening. And we had, over an 11-year period, we had older people in the building and people who had health conditions. In 11 years, I think we had 35 to 40 deaths in the building.
Oh, my goodness.
And I warned them. Now, since I last saw you, it happened like March 1st of last year. I remember it very clearly. Or, 2017. And again, it's a long story, but I found out, and I diagnosed myself, but I had it confirmed in tests, and I've never been ill in my life. I now have, although this is not going to be for me chronic, everybody says you have a chronic disease, and I intend to use natural methods to get rid of it, but and I've already normalized a lot of it. Hashimoto's hypothyroidism.
Okay.
And this may have been already incipient or whatever, but when you live under massive amounts of electromagnetic radiation, including, like, there's website that you can go to called cellphonetowers.com,
mm-hmm.
and when you click on it, you put your zip code, and then it will show you a Google Earth-type map where, you know, and it'll show the little points about where the different cell phone towers and different devices all around you are.
Right.
When I looked at that for 98501, right in the heart of downtown Seattle, you couldn't even see the streets. And that was 11 years ago, so you can imagine how bad it is now.
You couldn't see the streets because of so much electromagnetic radiation?
Because they had the little red pins like you see in the Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many cell mast towers, cell phone towers, all those huge arrays down there. You couldn't see the streets. There
was Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's
so
amazing.
So I was in the middle of that, and I'm a really strong person, but I've been under stress for many years.
Right.
And even I have I have my limits, and so
right.
I have a health condition. Probably at the very least, it was not helped.
I might be able to get you some help for that. Let's talk off air later, okay?
Okay.
Just next time we talk.
And I'll tell you what I've been doing, and I've been working with Bastyr and natural means with this, and then we can also talk about. I've been researching, and hopefully we won't have to do this, but there are things that with cutting edge functional medicine and so forth. We now have remedies that can protect us from the radiation, but my point is, let's prevent the whole problem in the first place. That's
right.
what we're trying to do.
I think, to
briefly list, Ted, like a few other things, so people have an idea how dangerous this is. You've got the health effects, and I just gave you a few of them. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the surveillance, and there's like once you have one of these things in your building or in apartment-wise and so forth, condos or in your house. Or on your wall of your house or whatever, they have total access to knowing where you are, how much energy you're using, whether it's natural gas or electricity or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they can track all this. They know when you're gone, and if somebody hacks into this, and these are totally hackable, if you have cyber criminals who are able to do this, they would know exactly when to come in and burglarize your house. Anyone from the government who was a bad actor, they would know exactly where you were. I mean, you can see all the implications.
Yeah, right. That's absolutely.
That's huge, and everybody gets mm-hmm. that since 2013 with Snowden. All right, then you have the smart meter fires. There's massive. You can check. People can start researching some of this for yourselves because the media, as we've said, the corporate media is definitely not.
That's okay.
You.
You've got a good audience here. Keep talking.
So
Don't worry about the corporate media here.
You've got fires. That have just broken out, and I mean, people's houses have been consumed. A number of people have been killed by the fires, and over and over again. And the utilities are deliberately not keeping records on any of this, and they're doing all these things to like conceal it. I mean, that's a whole other. Everything we're talking about could be a show in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we've got the fires. Then we have insurance. They're not properly insured. And so if something happens to your house, oh, well, you're liable.
Hmm.
They're not going to pick up, and they already know this. They don't have United Laboratories, many of these meters, seal of approval. And so Swiss Re and Lloyd's of London and some of the insurance carriers will not insure the utilities. They won't insure the meters. And you're up a creek.
Well, if Puget Sound Energy, as a private utility, puts in smart meters in a particular location— here in Western Washington,
mm-hmm.
They kill somebody, the meters kill somebody with cancer or cause them to mental illness or causes Hashimoto's disease, is what you've got,
mm-hmm.
they should legally be liable for those damages.
But here we go, the 1996 Telecommunications Act, Section 507, precludes.
I think the Section 507 is illegal and unconstitutional. It
That's
should
right.
be litigated.
And right now, because of the corrupt courts, we're probably better off using the contract route, which is what we're doing with the notices of liability, and we can get to that, you know, a little further on.
Sure.
Like we'll talk about remedies, both medical and legal and any other type of remedy.
We've got about 20 minutes left.
Okay.
So.
All right. So I'll just mention a few other things. There's like 13 different things that are problems with meters, and another big one is, and this is where it gets more into the more esoteric. And again, I can only touch on it, but there was just evidence released that substantiates what I'm saying. Even though people thought I was tinfoil hat, even my colleagues, my fellow activists, some of them thought I was crazy. Mind control.
And, okay, that makes sense.
Sure. And another thing is starting conflagrations, which you saw in California. And I did a compiled research compendium that I sent worldwide. And a lot of the people picked it up, and you saw people. I didn't take any credit for it. I just let other people take the research and write other articles. And this dealt with what happened in California.
Well,
and I showed the patent, which was a satellite-based laser that helped cause the fires. And then they used the smart meters, which they had imposed on the activists in Santa Rosa and Napa County and so forth, where those fires were.
Right.
That was where the big resistance was to the smart meters. And like 2 or 3 months just before or maybe up to 6 months before these huge fires happened, they suddenly started imposing the smart meters on all the activists, like Deborah Tavares and Rosa Corey. I mean,
right.
Some of the A-list activists in the whole world were there, and they all got smart meters. And what I showed with the patent and all this is, and Deborah Tavares picked it up and started doing, you know, the YouTube. She did a whole series of YouTubes based on part of this. They had the laser, and this was owned by PG&E, incidentally, to show how demonic this was. And then they could send the electromagnetic radiation down through the smart meters, catch the homes on fire, and have these weird patterns where half the home would burn and half of it wouldn't. Some of the cars would burn and some of them wouldn't. All this, and there was like beams of light coming down from the sky.
I saw those beams of light in a YouTube video. I posted it on my Facebook account, and within about 10 minutes, Facebook had taken it off.
There you go, because they did. When I tried to get, because I belong to like 100 Facebook groups, and I was trying to get this out. Keep in mind, I belong to these groups. And it's not like I'm just like spamming on walls or something.
Right.
They were putting me through captchas. Like every time I wanted to post something, I had to waste my time with them verifying I wasn't spamming, even though I said like three times when they interfered with me posting, I belong to this group.
Yeah. Well, Facebook is controlled by the cabal. So
of course. And I even call it Tracebook because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Snowden says, it's basically a surveillance corporation masquerading itself as a social network, which is what it is.
That's amazing.
It's a good name for it.
That's amazing.
So anyway, so you know this is being suppressed.
Right.
And I know I'm over the target. It's probably you figured this out, too.
No, I'm glad you mentioned, because I actually wanted to talk about that on the air here some months ago when that was happening. Because I saw these videos of these beams of light being shot, and the house would suddenly catch on fire.
Yeah.
Or they'd have these strange pictures of down in Santa Rosa and also in Los Angeles as well,
yeah,
of cars which were melted in place with the bumpers melted, but yet there was a tree sitting right next to it, untouched.
Yep. And notice that it didn't touch any of the organic. It was always stone. Well, stone is sort of organic, but we're talking about like living plants and this
sort
of thing.
Right.
It didn't touch those. It only touched stone, concrete, metal, you know, you saw these effects, and it was selective about what it was hitting, which was the people's homes.
Right. Well,
and they displaced a lot of these activists so that they were put out of commission, and that was the idea, as well as you know, whatever else worse that would have happened.
Well, there's another agenda, too, and this is one that I heard about in Southern California, where they were actually getting rid of these suburban communities outside of Los Angeles. And then prohibiting people from rebuilding again, so they would be forced to move into a large city like Los Angeles, into these little tiny apartments, Agenda 21-type high-rises.
Yeah. That's the other hidden agenda. And
that's the other agenda, yeah.
And they were punishing these activists because Deborah Tavares, Rosa Corey, Sandy Moore, and all those, a lot of them were women, were speaking out about this whole Agenda 21 program.
Yeah.
And the cabal is vengeful, and that's exactly what they do.
What's happened now with them, and what's happened with the development in the area? Have people
there's a blackout. Like, I've been trying to track that, Ted, and Deborah Tavares came out of hiding. I think they threatened her and her family.
Right.
And so for like 2 years, people thought she was dead or something.
Right.
And then after her house was destroyed, she started reporting on the fact that they had, the Army Corps of Engineers coming in and ripping up the base of the house and the cellars of the house and, you know, the foundations, essentially, so the people couldn't come back and rebuild.
Couldn't build again, yeah.
I mean, and that was like Jim Stone, freelance, you know, the investigative reporter, and a few other people, and that was in my compendium that I sent out.
Interesting.
They were reporting on it, and Russia Today and a few others, but nobody in this country, scarcely, was reporting on this. There would be a blackout.
Right.
All right, so... So the smart meters were part of this, though, because they were in the people's houses, and that they're sending these microelectric laser beams down, then the smart meter becomes what we would call the flashpoint within the people's houses for the melting to happen and all these things that were similar to the World Trade Center, which is what Dr. Judy Wood was pointing out. So, you know, the directed energy weapons that she was talking about, where you saw the same effects, but they suppressed the picture. She found them, but that you didn't see it in any of the coverage of 9/11 from the corporate media.
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Of course.
So you have that. Now, that it gets even more far out there, and this is where people said I was crazy, was the mind control. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, I saw an article, and I jumped on it. And it was from muckrock.org, which is, as a lawyer, you may be aware that it's that great nonprofit that helps.
I'm not a lawyer, but anyway.
All right, you used to be, or
used
you were
to
trained
be.
As
yeah.
one. But anyway, the FOIA and public records requests, you go through them, and they've got the forms already there, and they help you do it, and you can get all this information that the government agencies don't want you to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they had done a FOIA request from my favorite place, because it harasses me, and it shut down my email, and they've harassed me, you know, for about 8 or 9 years now. The downtown DHS Fusion Center in downtown Seattle. All right, they were going after something else, but in the release from the FOIA request or demand from that this activist through Muckrock had requested, in the download there was a zip file that was anomalous to what they had requested. And they even saw, you know, just from the way it was labeled, it had nothing to do, apparently, with what they'd requested, which escapes me at the moment. But anyway,
fascinating.
What was there was in the zip file was a diagram of the human body, a woman, actually. It was a female body. And it was listing the effects of electromagnetic weapons mind control on
the
human body and exactly how they could manipulate the human body like a marionette.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd been saying they had these capacities for years, and everybody laughed at me, and now we've got circumstantial evidence from indirectly leaked, like it was supposed to be accidental. I don't think so. I think somebody leaked it.
Mm-hmm.
I sent that out. Like, I sent it to everybody I knew, you know, that was in the alternative media. It went worldwide.
That's amazing.
Now everybody knows it. So this is even the worst part of the smart meters, Ted, because this is you're giving them a conduit right into your house for electromagnetic psychotronic attacks on you and your family. And anybody that comes into the public places, you know, this will be in the workplaces. It would be in the meeting places. The level of the danger here, and then you've got 5G, which is 1,000 times, it doesn't do that much more, even though the hype, you know, they tell you you're going to get all these speeds.
Right.
It doesn't really do that much more as far as, like, you know, upping the speeds for the internet and all that. But where it does 1,000 times more is the health effects, where they're putting these things like a 250 feet, you know, everywhere apart, only 250 feet apart, and can be right on telephone poles, right by your kitchen window or whatever.
Wow.
And it's even like 1,000 times more potent.
Wow.
Let
me ask you really quick. You had I received an email from you about how the Chinese now are using wireless surveillance and thought control devices.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that? We've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay. All right. So I think then we better talk about remedies. But anyway, so people aren't utterly depressed.
Yeah.
They have these helmets, and they're connected. They're Wi-Fi helmets, essentially. And they are able to monitor the moods, the thoughts. Literally, I mean, they can sense what you're thinking, and they're doing this with police, they're doing it with workers in the factories and this sort of thing, and then it verifies what I was saying from this DARPA DHS release document. It's verified by circumstantially again by what I'm just telling you, and they've mapped out the entire brain, and they can tell pretty much what you're saying, or I'm sorry, what you're feeling and thinking, and they can also extend this right into your computer.
Well, this sounds like a police state heaven for the Chinese, doesn't it?
It is, and that's a beta test. But I hasten to add, though, that certain elements within China, just like it is here, there's white hats in China, just like there are in America and all of the developed nations of the world that are working to stop this behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when the conflagrations were happening in California,
right?
This wasn't publicized that much, or they didn't give you any context for it. Right after the fire started in Los Angeles and Bel Air and so forth, all of a sudden, the Getty Museum went up in flames.
Oh my goodness!
The Getty Museum is one. They're a top Illuminati family, and it's well known. Well, I mean, anybody who's researched realizes that there's levels underneath the Getty Museum, and there's very likely a base for the trafficking of children and satanic rituals.
Oh, awful!
And somebody hit the Getty Museum, and these were probably the light forces that were sending a really strong signal to cut out the Calinferno routine that they were doing with all this damage to the state of California.
Sure.
And right after that happened, it stopped. So there's counter forces here, but
right.
they can't come out right now and announce, hey, we're the good guys or anything. They have to stay behind the scenes, but they're secret, like top, you know, military that are in on this, and 80% of the military is not going along with this anymore.
Good.
And they're secretly working to stop it.
Good. That's
wonderful.
So we've
got light forces on and off the planet at this point who are helping us.
Wonderful, wonderful.
All right, now, for remedies, we need to get some people to coordinate with me, and this is like a time-sensitive, you know, we've got a couple months to do this, but we can't dilly-dally around. I mean, it's targeted. We need to plan to pack that workshop with the Utilities Commission right here in Olympia, and get as many people there, even if they don't say anything, the fact that they're there. And it would be great if it was like an overflow crowd and they had to put a screen up and all that. And I know that's not fun for the people, but it makes a statement that the fact that there were only three of us last time, if we have 100 times that, that's going to say a lot.
Yeah.
And if we have people actually saying a lot in a coordinated case, like I was suggesting, with these experts, these world-renowned experts teleconferencing in or being there personally to testify, that's going to be really powerful. If we get people bombarding them with comments and evidence, and then and maybe even sending it physically in a packet or something, and then sending it certified mail or registered mail, so they have to sign for it, and then you've got legal evidence that you've sent it, so that if they go against it, then you've got evidence for court and for the notice of liability process. All right. Now, looking at legal, we've got the notice of liability, which we're beta testing in Seattle for the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Half the city council has resigned. The mayor resigned. Two of the CEOs of Seattle City Light resigned. And in the mayor's case, because he was found to be part of the pedophile networks, he had other things going, but it probably didn't help that he had a notice of liability directed at him as well.
How does that work?
It uses contract law, and it says that they have created a contract. We don't accept their contract. We're sovereign. We don't accept their contract. We suggest a counter contract, and then they have to rebut the contract that we offer them within 30 days, which they invariably don't. They don't know what they're doing with contract law generally, or they're just trying to bluff their lie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when they don't properly do it, then you go through a series of six steps every 90 days or so, and we got to the point where we have liens that are filed, and I believe it adds somewhat, I'm not certain about this, but I think it's $100 million against the city of Seattle, which, as you could, that's a chunk of change.
That would get their attention.
Yeah, it would definitely get their attention. And so what we're doing, the step we're at right now is a number of us, I'm one of them, is figuring out how to execute the lien, and we already know how to do it, but because we've got a completely corrupted court system at this point, we've essentially got gangsters that have taken over our government, including the court system, and we can be doing 100% correctness as far as like dotting every I and crossing every T.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're making up things as they go, which is what they're doing right now, I mean, they're abusing the courts. They're putting people in prison, you know, for not vaccinating their children and this kind of thing. I mean, it's like a Wild West situation
right.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out a foolproof method so that a number of us wouldn't like be put in prison or something for doing this.
Right.
Even though we're not doing anything wrong and we're abiding by the law as it's currently existed. And the reason this can work so well is this is the only point where you have to go into court. The rest of this is out of court. And it's outside their system. But for this particular thing, to actually execute the liens, you have to go into court to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to make sure everybody's safe. But actually, if we had how many people do we have left? 16 people left. Like my late partner, John, had filed and he died. We had another woman die. We have some good excuses of, you know, why the people aren't there anymore. But we're now down to about 16 people now. If we had 1,600 people or 16,000 people filing these things and holding these government and corporate officials accountable.
Right.
I mean, that just the power of that, you know, of human consciousness, you know, that's coming through that, where the people are aware of their being sovereign beings and having the power to not consent and state what they want. It's of tremendous power.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then James Robert Deal. Who's a conventional attorney, and he's run for a number of public offices and so forth. He just filed something. It's only for the city of Seattle, though, and mm-hmm. it's basically a demand that they cease and desist the deployment, and that's a good name for it. Deployment involves weapon systems, which is what these are. These are essentially miniature electromagnetic weapons, such as what they're using on the people in the Olympic Peninsula. So anyway.
Oh. Yeah, we don't have a lot. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Right.
What's
so
happening with
mention,
the
Also, we've come up with remedies that if there's one other, there's a guerrilla remedy legally, and then as far as like health remedies, there are ways to counter, like if you happen to get a smart meter before we can, in this transition period, before we can stop it or whatever, and hopefully we can stop it, and people need to get a hold of me so we can do this with the commission, because that's our best hope, not the state legislature. All right. But anyway, there are certain things that we have researched that we know will counter the electromagnetic radiation that we can tell people about later. But we're trying to look at this from a multi-systemic, multi-dimensional, you know, way of thinking, and this is what is going to help transform things during this transition period before tremendous positive things start happening on the planet.
Interesting. You know, it's really incredibly fascinating to talk to you, Rebecca. You have so much information, and you're a great inspiration to all of us. Could you give out your email again, please, and your number for people to contact you?
Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, P-H-B, for professional human being, at yahoo.com.
Okay, wonderful.
And my voicemail, 206-926-3962.
Let me ask you a real quick question. We only have a few minutes left. What's happening with respect to the electronic warfare range the Navy wanted to put in on Olympic Peninsula? Is that in effect now?
Yes.
Oh, it's been
in effect. I mean, this year and like later last year and so forth, the main thing they were trying to do is take over the entire state of Washington for the military range.
Mm-hmm.
And that was stopped.
Well, good.
So that's positive. But as far as I know, the growlers and this sort of thing, that's still part of it. They've polluted the groundwater in Whidbey Island with this. It stops fires. It's a fire prevention chemical that's very dangerous, and it's in the water table.
Oh.
The U.S. military is the biggest polluter on the planet.
Right.
They're attempting to destroy the dark portion. The faction is trying to destroy the Olympic Peninsula, which is one of the most, and the islands, which are some of the most beautiful places on Earth.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left, but I know that Simon Parks has talked about this, where the four branches of service, there's a lot of differences between them. And with respect to the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Navy actually is heavily involved with the reptilians in the secret space program. So they've been negatively influenced, at least since the 1950s.
But, There's a whole faction of the U.S. Navy that are white hats, and they're involved with Solar Warden and its sister program.
That's true.
That are definitely white hat, and they're working with the Galactic Forces.
Yeah, there's different political factions of the Navy and different political factions of the Army.
And people need to, before they hit everybody with the same brush, broad brush, they have to start using discernment, Ted, because it's a fairly complex situation. But at this point, I would say 80% of the armed forces or more are white hats and or white helmets, perhaps we should say, and they're working actively to stop what we're talking about, the pedophile networks, the environmental destruction, Agenda 21. All of this is about ready to go off the planet. It's just that it doesn't seem they're throwing everything at us right now because they know they don't have much time left, and that's the positive aspect of all this.
Right. Well, I know good times are coming to us, Rebecca. We've only got a few seconds left, but thank you so much again for coming on today, and I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Out of
My
This
pleasure.
World Radio.